Hi, everyone. It's Judy Warner. Welcome back to the On Track podcast. Today, I have my friend Rob Cook from Calumet Electronics. And, you know, we've been following this open source ventilator project that's been going on worldwide. And Rob was a dear and stepped in early to make those bare boards for free for Dugan Karnazes and Velocity Research team, which is in West Michigan. So Rob came along and was using Altium 365 to collaborate and get those boards built. And so we had a chat and I thought you guys might really want to hear about this. So lean in, enjoy. I'll see you on the other side.
Welcome to Altium's On Track podcast, where we talk to leaders about PCB design, tackling subjects ranging from schematic capture all the way to the manufacturing floor. I'm your host, Judy Warner. Please listen in every week and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your favorite podcast apps. And be sure to check out the show notes at altium.com/podcast, where you can find great resources and multiple ways to connect with us on social media.
Collaboration is critical to success. With us working remotely, it's more important than ever to convey design intent, review and comment, and iterate on mechanical, electrical, and software design features to get the perfect balance of user experience and form, all while improving manufacturing performance and yields. Working from anywhere and connecting with anyone has to be made easier. So at Altium, we're meeting the challenge head on. Right now, On Track podcast listeners have an exclusive, significant discount on Altium Designer with Altium 365 subscription. And to make this even easier, we're offering extended interest-free payment terms and a $400 bonus if you refer a collaborator so they get this deal too. So click the link below in the show notes to get your discount code now.
Well, hi, Rob. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm excited to have a chat with you today.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me, Judy.
Well, you know, we both went down this kind of, you know, in parallel down this really fun open source ventilator project together. And so I thought your story was really compelling and thought the listeners would enjoy hearing about your experience. So why don't you tell us how you got connected to Dugan Karnazes in West Michigan and how you got rolled up into this exciting project.
Yeah, I was actually at Altium Live in 2019. I had met Dugan and we had kind of connected for the first time at that event. He had been working with Velocity and some other projects with his company. And we got on to the subject of circuit boards and circuit board design and fabrication. And we started kind of talking about ways we might be able to collaborate together. And as with a lot of things, people kind of come and go. And we each went back to our respective homes. And a couple months later, I got an email from you saying, there's this guy, he is working on an open source ventilator project, and he could use some help with manufacturing. And I said, oh, I know Dugan. And so I got in touch with him, and he ended up putting us in touch with a contract assembler that he was using to help do the population of all the boards, and said, you know, we're trying to do this for a, you know, very low cost, taking a manual ventilator type product and adding some automation on it and make it into an affordable and rapidly producible ventilator for anyone to use. So we looked into kind of what his designs were and said, yeah, these are definitely buildable for us, and we're happy to do it to help you with your first prototype runs and see where it goes from there. And that was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. He had the design files and everything ready. And I think one of the things that made me want to reach back to you was after He got us the design files. We used Altium 365 and had a collaboration with our fabrication shop, the contract assembler, and Dugan and his design team, and went through five different designs in Altium 365, and it was a really fantastic experience. So,
okay, well, I have a million questions, but before I do, why don't you, I know, Rob, you've been on the podcast before. I'll share that link below. Myself and my colleague, Benjamin Kitzinger, we had the privilege of going out to Calumet and seeing your really amazing and unique shop. But why don't you tell us a little bit about your background in the industry and just a little bit about Calumet before we dig into more details on the OSV boards?
Sure, yeah. I've been doing things in design of printed circuit boards for just about 20 years. Designed my first board in college and have been working in everywhere from the design, development, and manufacture ever since. Primarily a lot of work in defense and aerospace, doing designs on F-35 and some other military aircraft, to military ground vehicles and even commercial helicopters. Currently, I am working as the Director of Engineering Services at Calumet Electronics. We've been fabricating circuit boards for over 50 years. Have a little factory up here in northern Michigan where we're cranking out anywhere between 500 to 1,000 panels of circuit boards a day. Everything from double-sided to complicated multi-layer, higher technology stuff. And, you know, our interest in this whole project was to try to be a little bit of, a light in this COVID area. We've already been producing ventilator components for other main medical manufacturers. And so this was another way for us to kind of contribute to that overall effort.
Well, you know, the way that the electronics community, I always say it, the electronics community is sort of a small town, much like Calumet is. And I was so surprised when I reached out to you and didn't realize you and Dugan had connected already at Altium Live. But that's a great story. And by the way, you guys, when he says Northern Michigan, what is it? Yeah. Houghton? Houghton,
yep.
Is the airport you fly into. And just a fun side story, both my colleague Ben and I flew in different flights. We went to Michigan Tech University to do a talk there, and then we went up to Calumet. And when I flew into Houghton, and I got there, and it's like a bus stop, and there was no cabs. I got there like 10, 11 o'clock at night, and I got picked up by a pair that literally drove me to town. And I'm like, well, I could be end up murdered on the side of the road. But not true. People in Houghton are the nice people ever. And they ended up working at the university, and they were teachers there, and they dropped me curbside to my hotel. It was like a great small town, but it is really remote, and so is Calumet. So, who knew there'd be this great board shop, this great technical university, really up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Beautiful, beautiful area. So
yeah, the whole, you know, it kind of was an accident that this happened. This used to be a very heavy mining area. And back when the copper mines started really closing down for good in the late 60s, there was a group of people in the community that wanted to keep jobs and keep the community alive. And one of the founding members of the company had started experimenting with these printed circuit boards, and he was doing it in his garage. He convinced some of the other major business owners in the community to invest in a company, and they started it up. And 50 years later, we're still working to provide a good community, good jobs in Calumet, and keep being relevant in the electronics industry.
Well, it's a great success story. Also in the show notes, you guys, I'm going to share, Calumet has a great little video that tells that story of how they were a copper mining town. It all shut down, but here's this whole community, and pretty much everybody in the town was working for the copper mines, and they said, heck with that. They pulled themselves by the bootstraps and created this really incredible, unique circuit board facility. They're doing amazing work there. They're really well recognized and have a very capable facility there. So I'm going to share that video. It's really, really cool. Okay, so back to OSV. So sort of like us at Altium, like Dugan with Velocity, we all just wanted to do something positive, you know, during these times. And, you know, as Dugan said, he reached back to me and said, if you want to talk to me about Altium 365, I'm a fan. Well, you know, I had to reach back because I knew Dugan. I mean, I knew Rob was both a design engineer, an Altium user. So he had the perspective of both a design engineer and a manufacturer. And so I thought, as listeners, you'd really appreciate hearing that story. So I said, heck yes, let's do a podcast. So let's talk about what it's like typically for you as a manufacturer to get Gerber files, do, you know, all the design rule checks, the back and forth, how that typically goes, and then contrast that to how you worked with Dugan and also Chris Denny from Worthington Assembly to collaborate on that.
Yeah, you know, I think there was a quote at Altium Live where I think the president of Sierra Circuit said, well, people want to ask me what percentage of jobs go on hold, and his answer was all of them. And I think that that's really a frustratingly true statement for what we experience, in that we often are taking the files and the drawings and everything that is provided to us, and we are trying to translate and interpret them. And a lot of times what is important to the designer is conveyed in the drawing in a way that's not quite clear to the fabricator and the manufacturer. And one of the things that we constantly struggle with at Calumet, and I think is pretty true in the PCB fabrication world as a whole, is when there is room for interpretation, we need to get in touch with somebody to ask how they want to interpret it. And we typically have to compile our questions, go and send that through our account managers to the buyer of whoever is purchasing it, quite often a contract assembly house. They then have to decide if they can answer the question internally with their engineering staff or if they need to bring it back up to their customer. Then they reach out to their purchasing person, who then has to figure out which engineer they're going to talk to find out how to interpret the answer to the question. And that whole process just ends up taking days, sometimes weeks. We were joking, we even have a system here at Calumet for when stuff is on hold for more than 40 days, how do we, you know, try to resolve these issues? Because it is fairly common that we will have stuff that is on hold waiting for literally a question that could be answered in 5 to 10 minutes for over 40 days. I mean, it's over a month, right, at that point. So with, and I guess that's kind of one of the things that we continually try to find ways to do better to get that information to us in a concise format and get those questions answered before we even start working on the boards. But it just is really tough. And so we constantly are fighting that in trying to make our customers happy and get them what they want to build the products. And it's especially true when we're talking, you know, RF or high-speed digital or even just real precision aerospace and defense applications or medical applications, where you can't just make an assumption, because if you get it wrong, then you're likely to impact somebody's life at some point. And we take that very seriously.
No pressure, though. Right. I know. And again, I try to let our listeners know, you know, sometimes with that model, say a CM's doing the work, and then they go to get the answer, there's all these kind of intermediary people. And sometimes the designer doesn't even know that it's gone on hold, right?
Right, right.
And it's like there's so much disconnect, and it's I've stood in those trenches painfully for a very long time, and so I have a lot of compassion. So, okay, so that's how it normally goes. It could take days or weeks. Almost every job goes on hold. You have to wade through one person, the purchasing, the engineering, the maybe the CM, you know, which I think is why a lot of CMs started, you know, maybe 10 years ago having their own designers in-house. It just made that a little bit easier for sure. So now tell us about, so contrast that. Well, before I close the loop on that question, set up for us how you were initially exposed to Altium 365, and then we'll dig into, you know, how it went with Dugan and Chris.
And I think the key that I told you before when we first chatted about this was that seeing a demonstration of Altium 365, but then actually using it was what really, to me, was such a fantastic experience. There was a demo given at Altium Live that was a nice demo. It showed some collaboration between some folks in Italy and in Paris and in the United States, and they were all working around the clock. There's a little bit of corniness to it, which was very amusing. And so it gave an idea of how you could use this tool. But then when Dugan sent me the link to the archive where all five of his designs were, and he, myself, and Chris Denny sat on a phone call and Zoom meeting, and we just brought Altium Live up, or Altium 365 up right on our viewing screens, and we just started going through each of the designs. There was not a ton of time spent digging into some of the smaller measurement details because we had already talked through a lot of that stuff ahead of time. But when it came to all of the specifics of how they wanted the panels laid out, how they needed spacing for things, where there were areas of concern on the board, whether they cared if the solder mask was green or blue, I mean, those are the simple things, but we manipulated the boards real time, and Chris found a couple instances where he saw component overlaps that were going to cause problems with some of the automated assembly process. And we were able to just make those adjustments and decisions right there on the fly. And within, you know, 20 minutes, we had all five boards ready to go through our tooling department without any stops. And so those five designs, I think, hit my department on a Thursday, and all five of them were through and on the production floor by Monday morning. So that kind of exposure to being able to manipulate and discuss and make changes live in real time was fantastic. And it sold me on the collaboration ability. I think there was a few things that, like I told you, I still would need want to dig into a little bit more using it to manipulate the design like I do board design that I'm working on. But it still was just so much faster. And the other one thing that I really was impressed about was how quickly and seamlessly the video integrated over the cloud. These were not the most CAD intensive boards ever, but they still had quite a few components on them and were a full 3D rendered shape. And the interface through Altium 365, zoom in, zoom out, rotate, all that kind of stuff, while all three of us were poking at it, was super smooth and was very easy to use and manipulate. And we just, at least for me, I thought it was a step above what I've ever attempted to use before with remote CAD, and being able to collaborate live like that was what we've always looked for at the fabricator level.
In really pragmatic terms, what does that do? What does it do for the designer, fabricator, assembler? Like, what does that do that you can collaborate in 20 to 30 minutes on five boards and be in production in 48 hours? Like, what's the impact and implications of all that?
I mean, number one, it's getting it through our entire factory. You know, we can do boards in as little as 5 days, and our standard turns are in the, you know, 20-day range, depending on the technologies involved. But getting those questions answered just lets us set it up to go through the factory without any hiccups or delays. And the slowdown, a delay in a schedule, it's not just impacting your lead time for being able to get your board back fully assembled. It's also interrupting both our and the contract manufacturer's assembly process. You know, we're running very tight schedules, trying to fit in as much as we can. And when you throw those hiccups in like that, it just really challenges our entire business model. So getting rid of those things is a huge, huge help for us. And then for the designer too, that is giving them that quick feedback. There's different design rule checks that are built into Altium and other competitor products, you know, Valor. But the design rules that we face are really complex in that it very much depends on material, copper weights, even solder mask type and material. And so to have a blanket design rule that's applied uniformly to a board is really not accurate. So we have to be kind of conservative with those design rules. By working in this environment, we can say, oh, you can make this compromise here, here, and here, because with the particular materials you're using or the particular copper weights you have, we can get by with a 2.5 mil space and line width. But if you're using this material and this, you know, just as an example, we have to stick with 3.5 or 4. And that kind of collaboration is what we can do when we're in that review process before you're already releasing your drawing, already releasing your design, and on a 3-week turn time schedule.
Yeah, and that's a really interesting point, actually, that we hadn't discussed, is the nature of how really, really custom every new board is, right? And so it always drove me crazy. It's like, oh, get a quote online, just punch in the number of square inches and da-da-da. And I'm like, yeah, right. I don't think so, because copper weight, the type of material, density, there's just so many things that goes into the cost of a circuit board, much less all the complex factors at assembly. And then you're both managing very complex supply chains with parts, doing just in time, you know, statistical process control, all these things. So it really gums up the work. So to hear that you can do those and address that exact board in real time, that is phenomenal. And I hadn't really thought about that.
I mean, it just made a big difference. You know, I see our, like I said before, what percentage of designs go on hold? All of them. Well, we had 5 come through our tooling department that week that didn't go on hold. And it was like, wow, this is what can happen when things don't go on hold.
This is why I love working at Altium, you know, because to be part of fixing that problem, even a small part, whatever, I'll sweep the floors if I can be part of that solution, right? Yeah. Because it's such a painful one for everyone involved. And again, all compassion to everybody. And we've heard that, and I know it's true from my own experience, literally every job goes on hold for a variety of reasons. I always say everybody's innocent, like no blame on any one entity. It's just really, and it has to do with not being able to collaborate in real time and not being able to communicate I mean, not very many industries still communicate in a very analog manner, you know. I always found it, we're doing the most complex technology in the world, but the way we do it is like 50 years old, which cracks me up. And it's like, we just need to catch up. So it always cracked me up that Happy Holden, who's written an 800-page book on HCI, worked for HCI.
Right there.
Yeah. So all of that's going on. And he oversaw the manufacture of like, whatever, 50 million iPhones in Taiwan or whatever. And he carries a flip phone that he can't text on. He can't take pictures on. I'm like, Happy, dude, what are you doing? But that's it. To me, that's like a picture of our goofy industry, right? That we create this technologies, but we're not really leveraging it to the full ability. So it's very exciting. Okay. You mentioned that you saw are funny, and I'll share that in the show notes too, the demo of Altium Live. It was really funny. They actually, this was very brave because most of us, you know, doesn't matter what design tool, if we're going to do a new product demo, we record that. We were so brave. We did this live and we had people from whatever, five different countries collaborate in a very simple, like USB stick kind of thing, but they did it in real time with component management, the casing.
Yeah, they went beyond even what we were doing.
And it was quirky, their little costumes and whatever, but that was such a bold move. And for us at Altium, we were like sweating bullets, so afraid that the Wi-Fi would go down or, I don't know. It was a very brave thing to do, but we did it. And so I'm going to share that below. And they were dressed in their silly costumes, like the guy from Germany was in his Lederhosen and the guy from France was in his beret. It was it was funny. So I will share that. But that's good to hear that you saw the demo and that there was a real, like the light, it sounds like the light bulb went on for you. Like,
yeah, I think, you know, for me, seeing that kind of collaboration and environment, and I don't want to say completely for the first time, but to see it work that well for the first time definitely was intriguing at the event. And then to have a chance to use it and really, really see how seamless it was fantastic.
Well, it's, you know, like I always say, better you to tell that story than us, because obviously we have a horse in this race, right? But I really appreciate you reaching out to me and telling me about your experience with Dugan and Chris, and I'm going to try to get Chris on too and, you know, have him share from, you know, we've already had Dugan on, and I tell you guys, let her rip, like tell us the uncensored part. If there's stuff you don't like, bring it, you know? And so I have been, you know, a new software development is challenging, and you don't know, nobody likes to buy new software because they got to work the bugs out in the front end or whatever. But all of you've given such great feedback, and, you know, I'm kind of a mushy person. So to hear how this works so well on a really wonderful, you know, awe-inspiring project was just a delight to follow. So Rob, thank you so much to you and Calumet for jumping in and being so generous, and thank you again for reaching out and telling me about your experiences. Music.
Yeah, glad we could help. And again, I mean, I reached out to you to tell you that Altium 365 was a fun experience to use and a tool. So I said in your email, if you wanted an endorsement, you've got it from me. It was great to utilize a tool where you really could collaborate real time, get questions answered, see it, manipulate it, and then make those changes if you needed to and get things going.
That's what we all want to do, right? And we're all, I'm just excited to see what this is going to do long-term, Rob, like what this is going to do to design cycles, to cost savings, because all those delays are expensive.
And it really can challenge some of the paradigms of the existing purchasing to quoting. And I think you can still do a lot of that kind of unbiased quoting type activity, but build in some of this collaboration up front with different supplier partners so that you're getting the feedback and the trade-offs. You know, what is a trade-off or a hard challenge for Calumet is going to be different than some of the other circuit board fabricators out there based on what we have for equipment versus what they have for equipment. And you can, as a designer, try and maybe find a happy medium in your balance or pick some trade-offs that will at least allow you to work with 3 to 5 suppliers instead of only 1 or 2. And so I think that's that paradigm shift there is really where there's the potential.
Well, you know, our ultimate goal, Rob, is to, you know, quote unquote, transform the industry, which sounds a lot like marketing speak. It really does. But actually, we feel it in our guts. You know, I see it every day. And we, you know, from our CEO is really has this vision. And again, it's just fun to be part of solving some really big problems. So excited. Thanks again for sharing your experience. I'm so glad it was positive right out of the gate. And hopefully we'll get a lot more of those designs headed your way that'll go like that instead of the 40-day scenario, which just stinks for everybody involved, you know, including the designer that's sometimes getting blindsided by those delays. So again, a million thanks. And thanks to Calumet. We'll make sure to share your website in the show notes. If there's anything else you want to share with us besides the Calumet story and your website, let us know. We'll throw it in the show notes for the listeners.
Will do. Appreciate having me. It's always fun talking with you, Judy.
Yeah, you too, Rob. Well, to our listeners, thanks so much for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed this conversation between myself and Rob Cook of Calumet Electronics. We look forward to being with you next time. Until then, remember to stay healthy, stay safe, and always remember to stay on track.